Welcome to Highway Diary.
That's how it starts.
I'm your host, Eric Halavog. With me, Anthony Scontrino. What's up, man?
Hey.
You're a New Orleans comic.
Yeah. Yeah.
See you around. Let's get to some of your tweets. You know, that's good way to distill, you know, your personality in 140 characters at a time. And I notice your style of comedy is like joke, 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 joke. Very similar to the tweeting style.
A little bit. I've been steering away from that a tad bit lately, but, you know.
You're trying some different stuff?
More like personal stuff.
Right.
But still trying to keep the jokes coming.
Yeah.
So,
just gotta sling out dog biscuits to those fucking monkeys, you know?
Exactly.
Here's one of your tweets. Why don't stoners talk about how good masturbation feels? And why can't I get the job? I know what that's like. I just quit pot when I moved here 2 months ago, but for real. Right? Makes everything better.
It does, and like, no one's ever said that I know of. Nope. I mean, people have probably said that, but not to me, which I feel like when there's a ton of stoners and they're just like, talk about how good it makes food taste and all this shit, but
people talk about sex, but yeah. People don't have the balls to say, you know what, when I'm just alone, I smoke pot and then I masturbate all by myself. There's like just a loneliness that people don't want to communicate.
Yeah. And I'm not afraid. Yeah, that's sometimes I'll just want to smoke a little bit and then just to improve that. But you know, I'm not a stoner myself. I just, if it's around, I'll smoke it and then I'll go home later, and the effects will still be going on because I don't smoke enough.
So it got to be an issue for me. Like, I wouldn't go on stage without. I'd be like, I'd have to smoke before I did stand up. I had to smoke before I wrote, and it was just like way too much, you know.
Yeah. No, I've only smoked before a set, like twice, and the first time surprisingly went pretty well. Second time, not so much.
It's almost like you have to time it where you're kind of coming off it, but you're still in a good mood from it or something.
Yeah.
You know, but just if you're always chasing that dragon, it's pretty tough. Here's another one of your tweets. I don't talk to anyone unless an algorithm tells me we'd get along first.
Yeah.
Are you doing the dating websites? Is that where that's coming from?
OkCupid? I have done that. I haven't had so much luck with the OkCupid. That was a while back. I did that, and now I'm doing the whole Tinder thing, you know?
Right.
Trying that out. I've had a couple. Nothing long-lasting, but
yeah, Tinder dates, they just kind of, you have a date, and then you call them, and they don't call you back or something, you know? It's just like, they're like, don't you know that this was just so I could see this movie? You know?
Yeah. No, the weird thing is the one that I, like, took out to a nice dinner and, like, did all that stuff with first, like, I thought that went well and nothing came with that at all. But then the other ones where I just, like, met them up and then, like, hooked up or whatever.
You gotta treat them terrible and then they're into
it. I wasn't treating them badly. I just didn't buy... We just didn't have an activity. We didn't have an actual date to go on.
Guys, meteors killed the dinosaurs. Why don't I see meteors around? No answer. Right, all right. Thank you. Do you think anyone's ever called off their wedding by texting their fiance the word disengage? I mean, it's efficient. She's kind of a dick. I recently bought a water cooler for my apartment, so I don't watch the news anymore. Things are just like heat seekers for talk.
I'm so happy that I can say I'm graduating college. I'm not. But after 5 years, I can speak well. That's a great joke for multiple reasons. 5 years, you haven't graduated. That's funny. Yeah. Second of all, you're just talking about your eloquence.
Yeah, as you can hear.
Do you feel like
quite
you're...
quite eloquent.
You're... You know, when you send a tweet out in the world, it's like you're just... masturbate into the wind and then it's gone from you, you know. Your best juice is just released.
Yeah, kind of. Some of them I forget I wrote.
Do you ever think about like just put them on stage, try a tweet out as a joke?
I have sometimes, and sometimes I'll go back and read the old ones that I never did try on stage and then do that. Maybe I should do that again.
Right.
Every once in a while, just
I gotta put this way closer to you. You're a quiet talker.
Go ahead. I'm trying to talk a little louder. I don't know how sensitive the mic is, but hopefully that whole first part wasn't like inaudible.
When you kind of trail off mother, it's hard for it to. So what in childhood, you know, did you not get enough attention? Were you, you know, what happened where you needed to, the level of attention where you need everyone in the room to shut the fuck up? You have an amplified voice. Did you not feel heard?
Yeah, probably so. I didn't do anything on stage until, like, until I started this about a year and a half ago.
Right.
And then I was just like, okay, people will listen to me, I guess. It's easier to make friends when people already kind of know you, you know? And then they'll approach you, and there's this whole community and stuff. Otherwise, I just, you know, lived a pretty boring, you know, living. I didn't live in New Orleans growing up. I lived in Mandeville, which is, like, the boring parts of Louisiana where it's just white people doing white people things.
Right.
And well-funded schools.
What did you feel like those white people in white people schools were were they trying to go after some kind of white people dream that wasn't satisfying to you, and so you had to go this other route? You tried out college for 5 years. It didn't work out for you. What's your path here?
See, I tried the academic route by doing biology for 3 years because it's interesting or whatever, but after like the first year, I realized that I wasn't gonna be like a professor or sit in a lab all day doing research.
Right.
So I just kind of realized I was wasting my time, and then I wasted it for 2 more years because it was being paid for by the government. So I needed some time to think that up, and then I took a year off and moved to New Orleans, and then I was in film school for 2 years, which is more creative and I enjoy that, but once I started doing comedy, I felt like that was going to take up too much time. So, also, the government stopped paying for it, so I kind of decided to just do this and not get paid.
Right.
In that way.
So then you started going to a cult called the New Movement. I went to a cult called the Upright Citizens Brigade in New York.
Yeah.
Where it's like a pyramid scheme. You gotta like pay your way in until you get to the top of the pyramid. Kind of like Scientology. I'm still waiting for them to tell me about aliens. But so how'd you get involved with the New Movement?
A friend of mine, I was working on a short film set. Don't even remember what it was called. But I don't know, a friend of mine mentioned that she was having her recital, which is what they call the end of the 8 weeks of class when you have your show at that night. She was having a show that night. So I just, I don't know, I decided to ask if they taught classes because I just wanted to finally do something comedic, which I had in mind for a long time, but like I said, I'd never been on stage. So like the next week I just went in and signed up for classes and then started doing stand-up. About a week after that,
You took improv classes and you jumped into improv and stand up at the same time.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. Like I started doing improv actually just so I could be comfortable on stage,
right?
And then now I just kind of do both equally, almost.
You know, I did improv for 9 years straight, and I was always kind of scared of stand up until I was like 27, and then I realized, like, wait a minute, after all this improv, I don't got anything. I don't have an hour special. I'm not working towards anything that I can have. I have skills, but, you know, I'm not, like, you can't sell your skills, you know what I mean,
out of your brain,
so I wanted to make a special and just work towards that, so.
Yeah, it's tough to put those kind of skills on paper and sell yourself, I guess.
Right. So you're, what do you think? Are you getting into, as you get more into comedy? You know, at first it's just like, I don't want to bomb.
right? So your style was just like joke, because also you get like 6 fucking minutes and you have to kick everyone in the dick as fast as possible.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So what? Now you're trying to ease up and tell more stories and relax.
Yeah, yeah. I started feeling a little impersonal. I mean, not like, I don't know, some of like the one-linery stuff that I would do.
Just checking.
Good. Yeah.
I always just get paranoid that it's not recording.
Oh, that's better than not recording.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I just, I don't know. Sometimes I feel a little ridiculous just saying one-liners on stage,
right.
But sometimes I'll go back to it. I don't know. Maybe it's just me being self-conscious about it, like feeling like I'm not actually putting a real person on stage sometimes.
You want to put your full character out there?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's good, though. I think jokes are good. And then, like, you kind of mix jokes
into
other stuff.
Probably going to eventually try. I mean, some of the stuff that's in, like, the stories, the things that I tell now, it's just, like, me chaining together a bunch of the stuff that I did in the beginning. Not in the beginning, but after I actually started writing good stuff.
Mm.
Or whatever. People think it's good. Some people think it's good.
So, you're white people from high school.
Yeah.
What are they doing? And are you jealous of them? Are they, you know, you're just like spinning your wheels, trying to be a comic, trying to get as much attention as possible. Are they working mm-hmm. towards anything interesting?
Not as far as I can tell. Not in my own, what I feel is interesting. I don't know. One of my friends is went to school for accounting, and now he's doing that, which
right.
I couldn't imagine doing as a job.
Right.
I mean, one of them went to San Francisco, and he's doing doing the whole tech thing, Silicon Valley, I guess. I don't know. Don't know exactly what he's doing. Trying to work for Google. Seems like he's doing pretty well. I wouldn't mind doing that kind of thing. That's not something that seems unfulfilling to me. But I'm not going to. That's not what I'm good at. But. You know.
There's a weird, like, startup culture of Silicon Valley. Like, oh, hey, let's start up a business. Let's start up a business, you know? I heard one business is to sell, because they're just, like, so obsessed with being on a computer, they can't be bothered with eating proper food, that one startup company in Silicon Valley is just making, like, a vanilla bar with perfect nutrition that you can eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, so you never have to, like, cook for yourself or leave the computer. They're probably going to start having diapers.
Yeah.
So you just, like, melt
like
into
the
internet.
Yeah. It sounds like something that Japan would have already thought of.
Well, just dissolving vanilla bars into your face, like space ice cream that has, like, vitamins in it.
That stuff was a lie, by the way. They never took it to space, apparently.
Really?
I saw that on some Travel Channel show a while
ago. Also, it's chalky, and I would imagine that it would
kind
of
flake
off.
Yeah, which is why they couldn't do that.
Right.
I don't know. They've been lying to kids for so long.
Space ice cream is bullshit. Unbelievable. I guess it's the one prototype thing that they tried to make for space, and then they were like, this ain't bad. Let's sell it to idiots.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
space sells.
So what's your plan? You're working now? You just came from your job?
Yeah, yeah.
What's that? Do you not want to talk about that?
It's just a regular day job. Just finally got a day job working in a little wrapped sandwich place, delivering sandwiches to people.
So, do you have plans to like move to New York or LA, or what's your grand scheme of comedy greatness?
For now, I don't have any plans to move or anything because I feel like New Orleans is kind of up and coming still in the comedy landscape of things, so just hoping to stick it out here until it gets like more established. And you know, it's still like with the film scene down here, it just keeps growing every year,
right?
And like more bigger comedians are coming through, like Louis just keeps coming through. I mean, he's doing a movie down here, so he's been at like 3 shows around here just popping in, and other people like Craig Robinson and Sean Patton and everyone, they're always down here like filming movies and things, so they're just planning on, I don't know, I don't have any plans to move from here yet. I think it's it feels good where it's at now, and I hopefully it doesn't fall apart somehow. I don't know how that could happen, but
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I was in L.A., you know, and I was working on reality shows and stuff, and it's, like, terrifying, though, because you'll work on a show, and then, like, the show will end, and then you'll be, like, not have a job for 6 months, and then, like, get on another show, and it's, like, this feast and famine cycle that was driving me crazy. So...
Yeah, yeah.
So then I was, like, then I applied to grad school, and I got in UNO, so I'm trying to, like, scam them into letting me live here for 3 years while I make my... hour special by writing a bunch of dick jokes in screenplays. I'm a screenwriting major, so.
I mean, that could work.
It's all about just having something to show for myself at the end of 3 years living here, you know?
Yeah, and how long have you been here so far?
2 months.
2 months. So you're...
Maybe 3 months.
Got, like, you know, got 2 years, 10 months left.
Three months.
Ah, 9 months. Whittling it down. This guy's going down the wrong way.
I know.
One-way street here.
He's got that cop face where it's like, he knows he's breaking the law. But he's just got that bulldog expression like, I'm doing it. I bought this car. I can go this way. We're just sitting out on the curb, by the way, to paint the scene. Sitting on the curb right next to an open mic that's going to start in an hour and 20 minutes or something. Doing a bit of a... podcast here, you know, that's why cars are going by and stuff.
I lost my train. That train in my head, that thought train.
Mm-hmm.
Lost it right away.
Do you ever write on stage, or are you very meticulous as far as, you know, you always have a set list, you always know what you're doing?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not like that at all. Most of the stuff comes out on stage usually, or like I've recorded all my sets from the beginning because I heard that a lot from all the podcasts that I would listen to.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to pick up stuff if you like to say something a tiny bit differently, that works better. I end up sometimes I'll just riff off of something on stage, and then that'll become better than what I had before. So
do you listen to all your sets, or do you just record them?
I don't listen to the terrible ones, and I haven't been listening to them as frequently now.
Figured out the one upside to being a ventriloquist. You don't have to worry about people catching you singing in the car. I do, however, have to worry about people catching my racist puppet singing beside me. If you didn't know, all puppets are racist. The ones that are called Muppets. I've done the research. I was at a bar the other night, and this guy was hitting on this girl, this like slightly homeless looking guy. He's like, hey, what's your name? She says Amber. And what he came back with was, like Amber Alert.
Some of your comedy influences. You kind of have like a Stephen Wright kind of style, you know?
Yeah, I think that just comes with the voice. I don't know if it's like... Yeah, I guess the style is similar. But, you know, I don't know if I've taken any influences directly from people. I've probably borrowed like subconsciously and just done it that way, but...
Because you're a very dry kind of sense of humor. Do your improv teachers ever scream at you to be more extroverted and to be more like jump into characters, more committing, instead of just like kind of like comment on things from, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that actually was a big thing in the beginning. It was mostly just being too quiet on stage in the beginning. But I think I've gotten to the point now where I'm free enough to just jump in and out of things and
speak loudly enough. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the thing till like the end of all the five levels of classes. I was still sometimes just not be speaking up loud enough.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, internally I feel like it's loud enough, but just when you grow up so quietly, such a quiet...
What was an evening with the families, with your mom and dad? You know, were they just reading? And if you were too loud at dinner, they would go, "Hey!" You know, and they kind of, like, you know, conditioned you like a housebroken dog that loses its will to live and just, like, is sleeping all the time, you know, and is just, like, very subdued. Is that what happened?
No. I don't think... It wasn't quiet at home. I think I would get all the weirdness and being loud out when I got home, but it was just, like, at school and stuff, I would just keep to myself for the most part until... I mean, I would have, like, a certain small group of friends all the way through for the most part, and then in class I would never make friends with people, like, in class or anything like that. It would just be through other friends, you know. I don't know how to approach people for the most part unless they are with someone else that I know, or they approach me,
right,
or something like that, you know. So that's how it's always been.
Do you think you have, like, social anxiety, you know? I totally relate to this, too, because, you know, at a party, I remember growing up in high school parties, and, like, there would be, like, one or two people, and they would not stop talking the entire party. You know, you're at mm-hmm. some friend's house, and two people are just totally holding court, you know?
Yeah,
talking, and it's like, I would never want to interrupt, but, you know, I would want to, and it would just kind of render me... like, totally speechless. And then I started having improv parties just so I would get a fucking turn to talk, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
be like, no, if everyone's quiet and I actually get turns to talk, let me prove that I'm funnier than you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was
yeah.
like, to interrupt somebody is just so rude to me. So it's just, I have this weird thing too. Like, I think all comics kind of have this, like, weird thing about being social where they kind of demands them to best express themselves with stand-up so that it's they know it's their turn to talk, so that it's not like you're gonna, you know, jump on anybody's vibe or anything.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Like, I guess that's why I can never, like, approach a girl at a bar or anything. She's always, like, talking to her friends,
right,
or something, and, like, how do you get in there?
Right.
Not that I would, I don't know.
I was great with this last night. I went to a frat party. A frat party is a great way to meet girls, first of all. And then you just go, my opening move is always going, "Oh, did you meet my friend Glenn?" And even though they haven't met me yet, I'm like, "Oh, did you meet this guy?" You know what I mean? So I'm, like, putting the attention on him. And then they all say their names. Huh. And then you kind of, you know what I mean? So
it's
that's how you...
It's not a bad... I've never been to a frat party. I don't know. Never been a. I would still go to one, but I don't know. Never got invited.
I just heard about it, and then I was gonna do stand up, and then that fell through, and then I was like, "All right, I guess." You know, because, like, with girls, sometimes it's really frustrating. Where, and I was talking to my sister about this. I was like, "Listen, if I go on a date with a girl, like, you know, I might be disappointed. I might, like, there's a 40% chance that it would go wrong. There's a 60% chance that she wouldn't want to call me back. There's a this and that. If I go on stage, I know there's a 100% chance I'll get what I want, which is to do stand-up."
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
if I'm going to spend my evening on stuff that I want to do, would I want to do 100% chance I have a good time, or a fucking 60 to 40, you know what I mean? Like, that I don't get a blowjob and I fucking waste money on some girl, you know what I mean? It's just like, when you look at the ratio of what's going on. And I mean, that's part of an excuse if I'm just, like, scared of beautiful women sometimes, because they're scary and they have a power and they know about it.
They do know about it, or at least I think they know about it all the time. They know.
This bulldog is just doing circles around this parking lot. It's very, very bizarre, his behaviors. He just did another lap. He was going up the wrong side of the street again, and then just did that, and now he's parked again, just staring at us with his bulldog face.
in his big car.
Maybe he is a cop. Does he think we're doing something?
I don't know.
Weird.
If this is a drug deal, this is a very long negotiation for drugs.
Yeah, we're just recording like a ransom note or something. I don't know.
Ransom, take 406. Your child is on. You won't get him back. He's in a basement, but he is secure. You cannot hear him. Oh, look, I've kind of fucked that up. I stuttered. Let me try again. Good thing this, you know, I think this cop's on to us.
Shit.
He's been giving us the old stink eye.
He was just trying to get the right parking space where he had a straight on shot view of us.
Right.
Straight shot.
Speaking of that, I took the wrong bus, and, you know, New Orleans is weird as far as getting, like, service, you know? I call a taxi. I'm on the phone for fucking 10 minutes before fucking someone picks up. Because I'm at the bus stop, and what it says, the bus is going to come, the fucking bus doesn't come. And you're like, okay, well, like, you know, is the bus driver, like, drunk right now? Because, you know, you have to fucking pick people up. It's a bus.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd say that's entirely possible.
So just the service here is crazy. But,
yeah, luckily I don't have to deal with the public transportation.
Oh, you have a car?
Fancy Balls. Yeah, fancy. I did break my radiator a few weeks ago. And that left me out for like a week because I didn't know how to, like, I didn't have the money to even use public transportation. I guess I could have used the bus, but I don't know how all that works.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how it worked in, because I'm like sneaky. I'm like rich, poor. Like, I have an iPhone, so I can look up the bus schedule so I can take the poorest way of transportation. You know? That's this weird thing.
Yeah, yeah. Service.
Yeah, the customer service just would never be like that in Los Angeles. It would never be like that in New York City. Like, you know what I mean? People show up to their job. They do their jobs. Here, it's so much like, eh.
But you know? I hear people are a lot. I mean, everyone's always saying that people are nicer here.
Because they're not stressed from
being, doing the job. Then, yeah.
They're not stressed from doing their job perfect.
Yeah. I guess they just, if they get called out on not doing their job, they just, oh, I'm sorry. It's my bad.
I was drunk. I was like, okay, well, you know. But anyway, I was, I got sent to the wrong place, and I was meandering around a skate park or whatever, and I saw this creepy guy in a truck go up to the skate park, and he started filming with, like, a GoPro or something like this. Like, kids, he was probably 39, and he was filming kids who were like 14, and then I looked at him and I gave him the stink eye. I was like, what are you doing, you fucking creep? And then he went away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder how many creeps per square foot are in a typical city, you know?
Typical city or New Orleans, I guess. Yeah.
Do you think there's more creeps here?
No. Well, maybe. I don't think so. There's more criminals probably than most cities, but creeps, I don't. What's the overlap of creep and criminal, though? That's
pretty overlap. You could be, you're both. You could be both.
Yeah.
So were you raised religious?
No, my grandparents were pretty Catholic.
Right.
Now I don't even remember. I think they were Christian, which is the main, I don't think there were any specific, no, they were Catholic. Whatever.
Yeah.
They were Catholic. We went to church, like, for Easter and things like that.
Your grandparents were?
Yeah.
So they took you for Easter.
Yeah, we would do that, and that was, like, pretty much it.
And then they died.
Yes.
And then you're out of that.
I have no grandparents. I was like, I didn't have to pretend to be any bit of religious at all after that.
So I did, my last podcast was with this guy called Reverend Kevin Annette, and he was doing this investigation about child trafficking with the Vatican. You know, he doesn't think that they're just pedophiles. He thinks that they're trafficking children. You know, they're into all this weird stuff. I put out the podcast, right? I have a moped, but when I went to my moped the next morning, right after I posted it to take it out, the front tire exploded, and all the gas had, like, boiled out or something in the sun. And I'm wondering if the Pope was shooting his, you know, evil juju at me, and he exploded the tire.
Pope,
you know?
Juju, yeah.
Maybe he had a curse on me or something like that, or, you know? So, the Vatican's after me.
Yeah.
For, you know, saying the truth. I'm on to them. They know it. And they tried to kill me by popping the tire. What if I was on the street and my tire exploded? You know? I'm just saying people are after me.
Yeah, he didn't know where you were at the moment. He just knew that you had that. He has some power, you know. He can pop the tire, but he doesn't know if you're on it. He probably would have rathered you been.
But
hit,
it's just like a general curse of bad luck.
Yeah, yeah.
Curse, you know?
Well, in that case, I'd like to say that I don't believe any of that stuff. They're bad people, but they're not trafficking children. Probably.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Check out this guy, Reverend Kevin Annette. He's been saying pretty creepy things, and in researching what he's been talking about, I've been having a series of anxiety attacks because he's talked to like a bunch of like victims and stuff like this. And anyway, I don't want to get too into it. It was the whole last podcast, but it's fucking creepy stuff.
I will listen to it. I forgot to check out the other episodes before this one. So,
but
I'll definitely listen to that one because that.
That was the second time I had him on. So I think, you know, people are, they're on to me.
Is he from around here? Or is that a...
No, he phoned in from Canada. He was actually in Florida. And then, like, mysteriously at just a random time, the line cut out. And then I couldn't get back to him. And then I was like, hey, I'm trying to talk to Reverend Kevin. And now he was in a hotel. And they're like, nobody under that name is staying here. And so he must have used a pseudonym at the hotel, just in case the Vatican's after him.
Wow.
So it was just a lot of intrigue. My tire exploded. I'm just saying some weird things happened with that episode. So
some stuff going on there. Yeah, I'd be a little paranoid too.
So are you an atheist? Are you agnostic? Do you just not know? You don't think that any institution can get a rap on this thing? Any brick and mortar building that wants your money in order to tell you what's up is...
Yeah,
they're probably
those are my gods. No, I guess I'd say I'm like agnostic because like I can't say for sure nothing is controlling whatever. Like it could be some religion that no one's made up yet, whatever.
Right.
It could be
right.
Someone could make up the truth in the future. I don't know.
Elrond took a crack at
totally,
it.
Totally, yeah, man. I don't think that was right, but he tried. We tried. But yeah, no, I can't say for sure that there's nothing, so I'm agnostic, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't believe in anything. Kid's getting reunited with his dad over there.
Wow, that's beautiful. So you are in a cult of improv, though, and recently the new movement just had a successful Kickstarter campaign in order to get a new venue.
Yes.
And did you help them out with that at all? I saw you tweeted it.
I did. I gave them $1 because that was what I had left on my credit card, I think. Or my debit card. That's what I had left. So I gave them $1.
Uh-huh. Were there any fundraising improv shows that you did or anything like that?
There was something. I think there might have been a stand-up show. There was like a gala thing that they did for fundraising. Mm-hmm. That wasn't like performance or anything. That was just like a party. I don't remember. I do, you know, I just do so many shows, I can't keep track of all of them. No, I'm sure there was like a fundraising stand-up show, but I don't get paid for most things, so.
Right.
It's not a, yeah. I didn't help out is what I'm trying to say. I gave them $1 and I tweeted it, so maybe that got someone else alerted by it.
Hey, 1,000 pennies add up to something, you know?
That's true. Yeah, theater's open now. It's not fully functioning in the way that the plans are set. We don't have the bar ready yet or everything, but it's nice. It's going. Shows are going on.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So how much? What else needs to get done? Like, is all the money there? It's just a matter of building it, or?
Yeah, I think so. It's not really. The building aspects of it are all done. There's like some sound equipment that needs to be put in with the fire department keeps having to check in on us or whatever.
Right.
And like there's some painting to be done. The bar needs to be built. Actually, yeah, that is building then. The bar needs to be built and I don't know. I'm sure there's a bunch of other stuff. that they're planning on doing with it, but it's a work in progress.
So what's your process as far as, like, taking, I'll tell you what I do for jokes and stuff. Like, I have, like, one document that's called Raw Material. I have one document called Set That Night. And I have one document called First Hour Special. And you test things in the crucible of Set That Night. And then if it works a bunch of times in a row, then it graduates to First Hour. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Do you have, like, any kind of workflow where you're working towards that goal?
I have a similar thing, kind of. I mean, I just keep, like, a bunch of Evernote list notes. And I just have one for, like, any random thought that I think is funny, maybe. And then I have a separate one for things that are probably tweets that I'm not sure about, which is weird. So I'll try to plan out when I tweet, which I don't do a lot now. But, and then I have one for the set list. And then I'll have one, if, like, jokes work over and over, I'll have that in, like, the solid material section, whatever. Stuff that I know will work and I can use in the future.
So was it in your, so when is your CD going to come out? Like, February 2017? Is that the
2017?
Release?
That's, yeah, yeah. It'll probably be like a vinyl release. Just two jokes, one on each side.
Like, people will say they'll cross the streets when they see a black guy walking towards them. They won't say it, but they'll do it. I don't do that. I just cross the street no matter who's walking towards me. Didn't want to be dangerous. Unless I see a black guy on the other side of the street. Yeah. I'll cross the street towards him, and I'll start walking with him. And I'll continue to walk with him until he gets home. And I'll wait until he goes inside for a while. And I'll knock on his door and ask if I can have dinner with him and his family. And then when he says no, he's a racist. Fun tip. Thank you, Jen.
Long jokes.
Yeah.
Really?
Real long.
A side and B side. You gotta totally get away from the joke style.
Yeah,
and
yeah. I'm just gonna, for my first record, it's not gonna be a CD.
I wanna make, like, the first side of my vinyl, like, killer material, and then the second side, just, like, me breathing, you know?
Yeah. It's not a bad idea. Because people will get hooked with the first side, and then they'll have to keep listening to you breathing for however long that goes on.
And, like, the fucking business is changing so fast, you know what I mean? Now, like, an HBO special is getting on Netflix. You know what I mean? Like, that's,
yeah.
The new standard of, oh, you fucking are the best in the world. And I heard not one album went platinum this year. This was, like, the first year in history that not one album sold it. I guess platinum's 1 million records and gold is 100,000 or something. So it's just, like, the it's kind of interesting that there's no, like, Elvis anymore. Then there never will be. Because before, when there was only two channels, the guy who's doing songs is the fucking guy. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And now there's anyone can out of their garage make really good fucking music after they get their jazz degree.
Yeah.
And, you know.
I mean, I'm sure there's probably, like, a single song that sold, like, way more than 1 million. But, like, people don't buy full CDs anymore. Or any physical media, I guess.
Right.
So yeah, that's not gonna, it's not gonna come back.
So how is your, when your album comes out, is it gonna be like a contact lens with digital information on it, or what delivery system is your first CD gonna come out?
I gotta get working on that.
Could be like a pill, or like a probe.
Just like a time release pill. Every hour, a new joke just, like, jumps into your head. You just kind of laugh at it, you know, all day.
Or, like, it, like, comes out in a musical fart.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if you look at my notes, but I've been out of things to ask you about for about 25 minutes.
Oh, it's cool. I mean, I free-flowing.
Let's throw out some plugs. Plugs always kind of get the ball rolling. So, Name is Anthony Scontrino. Yes. Twitter at Anthony S-C-O-N. If you click through the Highway Diary RSS feed, you'll see an Amazon banner. Click through that and bookmark it, and then every time you shop on Amazon, it doesn't cost you anything more. But let me tell you something. It kicks a little bit of grease back to this show. You want to grease this monkey, let me tell you that. Check out the web series called Here Comes Godot online. Also, Theater of the Deranged 2 is a movie I hosted as Damien Shadows. Troma bought it, and they keep delaying the release. It'll probably come out in February 2015. I kept saying Halloween, but that's not true anymore. I'm thinking February or March of 2015. Emails coming out of the Troma camp are vague. What else do I want to say? Oh, and this Thanksgiving, or definitely by Christmas, we're having another Here Comes Godot short film. And it's about Richard Wilson's suicide dinner. That's all I can tell you there. But it's a 7-minute short, and then we're going to start putting it in festivals and shit like that. So, had a business meeting with the fucking Here Comes Godot people, and that's what's going on. So, can they find anything online of yours that you need to want to give a shout out to?
No media per se. But I will be at Hell Yes Fest down here in New Orleans doing some shows. What is the 15th through the 19th, I believe, November. One of those weekends in November. I should get these dates down.
Hell Yes Fest is started by Andrew Polk of the New Movement, and he put together a festival. 12th through 16th, and he put together a festival of stand-up comics, right?
I'm not sure if it was just Andrew, but and it's not just stand-up either, but it's stand-up and sketch and improv and all that stuff and live podcasts and all that stuff. But I'll be on the show Saturday, November 15th. At the Shadowbox Theater, 10:30. It's a stand-up show. And probably be on some more shows, but those aren't settled. I'll be in Baton Rouge Monday night doing a show, but that's probably irrelevant.
Yeah, this coming podcast. Out Tuesday.
Yeah.
Also, I'm going to start hosting the open mic at Cajun's. Sign-ups at 5:30. The show starts at 6 on Tuesday nights. And it should be, you know, starting October 28th, that Tuesday, the Tuesday this is coming out, and then every Tuesday after that for the foreseeable future, I'll give updates on that, so come out. Also, if you want to do beat poetry, if you want a bongo, if you want to do puppetry of your penis or your vagina, whatever you want to do, it's like an all-up talent show. If you want to juggle orangutans, come on down, let's do that. You want to, play the nose flute? I don't know what's going on.
Some guy played the didgeridoo at Siberia the other night.
Yeah?
And it seemed like he was going to go on forever with it, you know, because it's a didgeridoo, and you bring that on stage, you think he's just going to jam out on it for a long time and not see the light.
Is that the one that's like... Wah, wah, wah,
yeah, it's like a... Wah, wah,
wah. He's like, hey, this is my first song.
Yeah.
Kind of did that. It's called painting fingernails. Yeah. He just does that. That's the only thing you can do. It's not like a...
Yeah, exactly.
It's more of a noisemaker.
Yeah. He kind of beatboxed with it and tried to spice it up a little bit, but... And he didn't last for that long, either, which that was the surprising part. He got off in a relatively short amount of time. Anyway, yeah.
So, do you have hope that this is going to turn into a career, or are you just like a junkie and you're just doing it out of momentum because you can't stop? What's going on? How realistic are you as far as the stand-up comedy dream? Is it an elusive bitch for you, or?
I know it's not likely that most people will succeed with this kind of thing, right. So I'm not delusional in that way, but I am in the way that I'm putting most of my effort into this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping for something to come out of it, and that's what I'm trying for. It might I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to do improv and sketch and stuff in the meantime, so hopefully maybe I can become an okay actor or whatever, whenever they start filming more comedies and things down here. Maybe I can audition for one of those, and, you know, I don't know. There are different ways to get my name out there, I guess, but stand-up's the main focus for now. But, yeah, I know I'm not making money yet, and I'm going to be poor for quite a while, so I'm just going to keep plugging at it like that.
There are quite a lot of us lost souls out there, you know. We're in a very similar situation where it's just like, we just love it so much, and it's just like, to think to give it up is just like weird, and I like miss it. I'm always jonesing for stage time, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
If I don't do it in like 4 days, I'm like, oh, I need to do a stand-up, you know? It's like an itch at the back of my head, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if I really wanted money, I could get a night job as well, but I like doing, I feel like I need to keep a good momentum going, or I'm just going to fall out of it, you know?
Yeah.
So I've made sure to at least go once or twice. I mean, I try to go way more than, I try to go like 3 or 4 times a week if I can to the open mics, but I've at least done it once a week since I started, just so to keep it up. I wouldn't go longer than that without doing a set at least.
Yeah.
It's
do you ever get grizzled or like pissed off at you know,
at other comics? Or?
Well, yeah, and just like the grind, you know.
Sometimes the environment can be a little more negative, so then it can like seep through. But I don't know. There are certain groups of people around here that are a little more annoying to me than others.
The cliques?
Not groups as in races, but...
Do you have any racist cliques. Observations you'd like to share?
No, I haven't thought of any since that last bit.
No, but, what do you mean? Is this getting into territory of almost talking about, like, social anxiety, or do you feel like there's, like, a clique of people that, like, you're on the outside of or something?
No,
or
you need to not any of that.
Get approval from somebody?
No, it's just the, there's just a certain type of comic around here who's been doing it for much longer than me, apparently, or I know that, but they just do the same thing that they've been doing at all the open mics. They don't have new material.
Right.
And it's all clearly, like, just written out with all the curse words in place and all that, just so they can say fuck when they need to, and just, you know, it's where they're not really trying to improve or anything, and, you know, that shouldn't bother me so much, but it's just annoying having to see them go up all the time and do the same thing, you know.
And you could almost like mouth the words to their whole act.
Yeah
I know. That's why, like, you know, I have a very set goal in my head where it's like, okay, I've been doing it for 1.5 years. I think in 3 years from now, I should at least have 1 hour. Like, that's not so much of a, you know?
Yeah, no.
And just make sure that first hour is a fucking crusher, and then try to have that open doors. But, you know, it's like, and I'm thinking about putting, like, weaving sketches into it, so maybe it's only 45 minutes of actual stand-up.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the hardest part. But,
it's all about trying weird things with stand-up right now, I guess.
Yeah.
Kind of, just...
So, any kind of way to make it multimedia, you know. But then it's like, that's your calling card, and then in what form is it going to sell? Like, Russell Peters just put his shit on YouTube, and now he's selling out arenas wherever he goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, it is interesting. I'm like, I don't want to just put it on YouTube. I want to somehow sell it to Netflix. If it's, like, badass, and I shoot it perfect and everything. But then it's like, well, they're not going to buy it unless I got some weaselly agent on the phone call.
Yeah,
and I don't
know
how to get that without the special first. So it's like this whole... It's always like every time you look, there's, like, a catch-22 situation. Mm. It's like there's this, like, castle wall of show business. And if you, like, see through the crack one time, you have to, like, throw a machete through that one little crack... hope it stabs the right guard or something like this, so you can sneak your way around. You know, it's like, it's a fortress. And
yeah,
it's very interesting. Almost seems like it's shrinking because it's a shrinking fortress because fucking not one album has gone platinum. So it's like, what is even this business right now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's, it seems like most comics just get their own podcast now and just do tours and, you know, get a sitcom or something, you know? Like Louis's doing it. They have specials on Netflix and stuff, but those aren't, like, selling albums.
Right.
But it's, yeah. Yeah, just putting your stuff on YouTube like that, that's just a complete luck thing, I feel like. I mean, you have to be good, obviously, but, yeah, like, just having people spread it like that, that's a thing that... Russell Peters probably got that because he started, like, in the beginning of YouTube.
Right.
More so. And, like, now there's so much content on there that the chance of your thing blowing up is so small.
Yeah, it is kind of like... You know, as you're drowning, it's like throwing a note in a bottle, like, save me. You know what I mean? It's as that bottle tumbles through the waves in a storm, you hope the right person opens up and reads it, you know?
Yeah.
But it's fucking...
We're all gonna succeed. That's what we're trying to say. It's we're going places.
I don't want to fucking go home to New Jersey for Christmas. I couldn't care less about that. I want to just do stand-up and write screenplays all day. And the less I'm bothered with anything to do with a holiday is much better for me. It's weird that my parents don't quite understand. Like, they're like, yeah, but because... Do you have any idea how little I give a shit about fucking Christmas?
Yeah.
And paying a bunch of money when all of that money, like, could have been scraped for just... cab fare or a bus fare to fucking go to a mic and do that.
You've had plenty of years to celebrate Christmas.
Yeah.
Now you gotta crack down and take that time off classes and shit to just get stuff done.
Exactly. Are your parents worried about you?
Probably.
Your, like, white people, like, back from home, like, doing their born white people jobs? Like, why weren't you a white accountant? Why weren't you a white banker?
Probably, but, like, my other brothers, they're not doing anything either, so... But they're doing less, so... They didn't go... My one brother went to community college for about a year, I think. The other one dropped out of high school. And I'm not sure what he's doing exactly right now. The other one, he works for Coca-Cola, stocking shelves and delivering Coke and stuff. Right. So he's making good money doing that, but... You know, I would rather not make money than do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't know where that's going to lead him in the future, but I wish them luck. But no, I don't. I think they're just worried about me because I'm pretty poor and I have needed their help in the past. And I think that well has run dry as far as that goes. But, I don't know, they never tried to push me to do anything else, so...
You ever think about turning tricks?
I've thought about it. I've thought... I went through a phase of just looking on Craigslist for anything to do, basically. I was trying to, like... I signed up to sell bone marrow, because I thought that would pay a lot. And then I looked at what it paid, like, afterwards, and it was only, like, $200. And you're out for, like, a week or so. You can't work or do anything. So I was like... Well, I just wasted my time doing that, and it's also a real painful procedure. And not in one minute of me, like, looking through all the... or filling out all the stuff was I thinking of what good that could actually do for, like, research or whatever. I just wanted the money.
Right.
For myself. So, I've thought about, you know, doing whatever it takes, but it hasn't come to anything... drastic. I don't think it will, so should be fine.
So what would you rather do? Go through a painful bone marrow procedure or turn tricks, you know?
I think the tricks would be worth more, but
you think so?
Yeah.
Even if you had to get bummed?
Yeah, no. Probably not.
I had one doctor put his bum problems.
Yeah,
you know, and I had a doctor put his finger on my butt, and I was like, there is no way I am a gay man, because this is so uncomfortable. I don't know if you've gone through that.
No, I haven't had to have, like,
but it is like, whoa, you know. I have such a respect for, like, porn stars that, like, you know, get, like, black cocked up the ass. Yeah, it's like, wow, you are a fucking hero. You know?
Yeah. It takes training, I'm sure. It takes many.
The gradual dilation. Reps.
Yeah.
Right?
Lots of reps in the gym doing that. No, I don't. That, I don't think I'd ever end up doing that exactly. But I've thought of, like, stripping or something. But I don't have what it takes for that either, so. Right.
Anthony Scontrino, see him around.
See me around.
See him at the fucking, what's that festival called again?
Hell Yes Fest.
See him at Hell Yes Fest, blowing up the New Orleans scene. You can't go into a mic without seeing this guy ripping it down.
Oh, I might actually be at Fun Fest next, well, first weekend of November as well, but not solid on that yet. Might be doing a show at the New Movement over there, so. This will be out Tuesday, so that's coming up. If you're in Austin, check that out.
You probably already have tickets.
Maybe. Friends, I would be taking a ride with a friend who's going and trying to buy the cheapest food while I'm there.
Sure.
But otherwise, I'd just be staying with one of the Austin comics over there if I was going. But we'll see how that goes. Hopefully I make it.
Well,
let's do some shows.
That's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Thanks to my guest, Anthony Scontrino. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
It's fun.
Let's do this fucking mic, dude.